Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 56. And today we're going to talk about some trauma, fear. We're going to talk about Gideon, who started out weak and fearful and ended up as a Hall of Famer. He ended up in Hebrews 11 as a man of faith, and he started off totally as a person of fear. And today is a fearful day. If you're listening to the news at all, if you're listening to watching Facebook, people are divided, people are confused, people are sitting home, they don't have fellowship, they don't know who to talk to, they're trying to sort things out. And just don't be offended in this hour. Let people sort through what they have to sort through, and let the Lord deal with people. Our main thing is we got to stay in the Bible. Amen. So we're going to do that today. Psalms 56. We're going to kind of skim through here, but verse 3 is kind of where we want to land for 1 second. But he's talking about his enemies. In verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I don't know if you've ever been afraid in your life, but when the lights go out, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, darkness comes in your life, there's a tendency to just have a normal fear. And we're going to talk about Gideon, who had reasons to be afraid. He had enemies that were seeking to kill him and to destroy his crops and to destroy the whole nation of Israel. But God showed up. So we want to talk about that. When we are afraid, what time I am afraid, there are times that fear surrounds us. And there's times when we find ourselves, like today, in uncertain times. Many people don't have jobs. They find themselves uncertainty about, do they have a job to go back to, house payments. There's a lot of things that people have never, ever experienced on a global scale that we are facing now worldwide. And financial chaos, end time events and prophecies. And the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But there's one thing that can't be shaken, and that's the kingdom of God. And remember, we're going to talk about that today. But I want to talk about what is fear. Fear serves as an important alarm system. God's given us fear to alarm us so that we watch out for danger. But he doesn't want us to live in a state of fear, a fearfulness. A state of fearfulness is actually very harmful to you because it can paralyze you and it clouds your vision and it makes everything look foggy and you can't see reality clearly. When you start living in a state of fear, there's a state of torment. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, so we have to constantly go back, trust in him, just like we're going to find out that Gideon did. He had to put all of his fears aside, and he changed. He was transformed from a person that was totally fearful, traumatized, chaotic, and he ended up being a mighty warrior for the Lord. And we're going to give a couple secrets of, I think, ways we can stay on that narrow path of keeping our trust in the Lord and trusting in him and keeping our heart at peace and facing these times that the Bible tells us there are times. And the number one thing is, let no man deceive you. Men, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. We all think we know it. We're all right. You know, my research proves me that I'm right, and your research proves you that you're right. We were talking to some doctors. I have a lot of doctor friends, and the doctors don't even agree. Scientists don't even agree right now. I mean, there's such division in the land, so we have to love each other no matter where you're at, have greater love than people's opinions right now, because they're settling. They're trying to figure things out. When you're in a dark room, you want light, so everybody's trying to find light. But everybody's at odds, and in the end times, it talks about great division and betrayal. And even in Revelations there, it says that they shall slay one another as the times get darker and darker, right? The red horse. But anyway, so we want to keep our peace, keep our eyes focused on the Lord and not be terrorized and traumatized. And many times you're just going to have to shut the news off. You're going to have to shut it off. If you're sitting there watching that 24 hours a day, as I'm going to talk to you a little bit later, fear can actually cause you to die. And I'll share you some real stories that happened to. So we want to put our trust in the Lord in this hour. We don't want to put our eyes on man. Let no man deceive you. Don't think any man's going to be your savior. Jesus is our savior.
Amen.
So fear does serve as an important alarm system to warn us of danger, yet it can also paralyze us and cause us to freeze and become terrorized and become traumatized. And we're going to see that Gideon's at this state. He's actually traumatized because of the oppression of the Midianites, that they tormented him for 7 years. He was under the terror of his enemies. And that word in the Greek, trauma, means a wound or emotional upset because of stressful events. Today we're living with stressful events. Even going to the grocery store has caused people to get stressed out. They don't know what to expect. They don't know. I mean, everything in our world right now, there's so many stressful events. So I want to make sure to comfort your hearts today. My whole purpose today is to bring you some encouragement, some comfort into what God says, and to put our trust in the Lord. Our times are in his hands. Do you know that? There is an appointed unto man once to die. That's God's appointment. You cannot control. God's in control, and that should put us all in rest. The devil can't take you out if God's got you, right? So we have to just relax, and that's what Gideon came to, is just like, you know what? I'm going to obey God. My life is in God's hands. If the devil would have had his way, most of us would have been eliminated a long time ago. But God, right? So we always have to say, but God. But still, we go through events in life where we're traumatized. And I can say that when my mother died when I was 16, she was sick for a long time. I was motherless for a long time. I was traumatized. Because when you're traumatized, upsetting events, your life is different. Your world is different. What was normal is no longer normal. So you have to face that reality. Things are different now, but with the Lord, we can face these end times. It leaves you feeling unsafe because your place of refuge has been invaded. And that's how many people feel right now. They feel like their refuge, their workplace, their schools, all these places have been invaded. But even in the storms of life, God is with us. And God always says he will make a way. We don't see a way, but hasn't God always made a way? Yeah. Hasn't he always made a way for us? Now in a rodeo, a rider literally throws that steer by the horns on the ground, right? Takes it right down to the ground. And that's what experiencing trauma is like. It feels like you're being thrown about like that steer. You're just thrown to the ground and your whole world feels chaotic and out of control. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to bring confusion. God's not the author of confusion. And if you just turn on the news for just a few minutes, you're going to sense confusion. One person says this. A month ago, they said this. This was a death trap. Don't wear it. Now you have to wear it. I mean, everything you get a double speak, you get a double message, right? Because people are being fed fear and trauma and traumatic events. So the familiar is gone, and now what happens when you're in a traumatic situation? A new world emerges. And trauma leaves you feeling unsafe. Now, we that know the Lord, we know there's safety in him. But think about the people that are not saved in this hour. They have no safety. They have no place of refuge. It's a great time to share your faith with people. Now, when we have losses, when you lose your job, when you lose a child, when you lose a parent, when you lose anything, it threatens your security. I remember when my mom and then my dad died, it was like, wow, my whole world, I haven't lost a sibling yet, but three of them have been through cancer. And it's just like your whole world gets rocked when people around you that you love start disappearing or getting sick. It's just like, wow, you just kind of always think you can call your mom, pick up your phone and call your mom. And I remember calling my dad almost every day. And then there was a day that I just couldn't call him anymore. And there's a habit, I'm going to call dad. Well, when dad's not there anymore, your world, it changes. Everything changes, and you have to go on. And you did go on, many of you. Some of you haven't experienced that yet, but some of you have. And that's what we go through. If you've lost your jobs, you're going to go on. If things are different, we go on. God's going to make a way, even though right now we don't know what that way is. He said, I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you. But trauma leaves us in that state of feeling unsafe. And if you're in that state today, I want to say it's okay. We understand and we love you right where you are. That is a passage you have to go through. You can't just jump over that stage, and we can't expect other people right now to just be okay with stuff. Let them freak out. Let them go through. Let them vent. I don't listen to it now. I don't go on Facebook. I just can't handle everybody's opinions. But you know what? That's the way people are. And it's okay to go through stages. You still have to love your relatives if you don't agree with them, right? But losses threaten our security. And then threatened losses makes us feel powerless, on edge, sad, angry. And then we're wondering and we're waiting. We're wondering what's going to happen. How's this going to change? How's this going to affect my life? We want to be in control because we're supposed to be in control. And so when someone takes the rug out, what are we supposed to do now? Well, you got to refocus. You got to reset. And everybody's doing that right now. And so if you're struggling and you're mad at someone, they're resetting. Their world has been upset. Let them go through what they have to go through. We all have opinions. Let them have their opinion. It's going to be okay. Don't let anybody separate you from the people that you love, because that's the devil, and that's what he wants to do in this hour. He wants to divide us all up over petty little things. Do they really matter? When it gets to eternity, will any of these things really? No, doesn't matter. But a common emotion in trauma is fear. And what is fear? It's the danger or sudden calamity. And I remember as a little girl, we never locked our doors in Brainerd, and we lived in an alley. It was really dark beside us, and we had a lot of guys behind us, and they'd go through our alley, and they were drinking a lot of times, and they'd scare me because my bedroom was right there by the alley, and then the park was right across the street. And sometimes when we were little, we had to run across that dark park and get to our house, and guys would chase us and stuff. And so as a little girl with no protection, and I don't know, I think my oldest brother was gone at that time. Maybe he was, but we didn't have a real close, I'll walk you home. No, it was like, if you're going to get home, you're going to walk by yourself. If you're going to get to school, you're going to get by. So you kind of did everything by yourself. And as a little girl, I was traumatized. I didn't have faith. I wasn't a Christian. So I was what you'd call probably a fear-based person. Everything was fearful for me. I didn't want to cross. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to, because I didn't have anyone to lead the way. I didn't have someone that helped me. So I had to learn my own way. And as you learn, many of you had to go your own route. Sometimes you make it, sometimes you missed it. Sometimes you ended up in a ditch, but you know what? God's faithful to get you through it. And that's what trauma is like. You kind of find your way, and then that works. Okay, that didn't work. And as we've been talking about the false church, a lot of us thought that was the way. We finally found the real Christianity, and then we found that it had been infiltrated. I just want you to know that the whole part of the Bible, the false church is part of it. It's not the whole part of it. Politics is another big part of deception. And you have to, what do you think about politics? Hoya is what I think. Hoya. Because why? A lot of the things, if you don't know my Hoya story, I don't have time to go there. A lot of the things we see are not what's really happening. It's what they want us to think is happening. And you have to know God's told us that. He's told us, don't be following men. Jesus is our Savior. The kingdom we have is not of this world. We cannot put our trust in politicians in this hour, in scientists. The Bible, these people are acting like they're great scientists, falsely called, the Bible says. They're acting like that's their God. No, they're trying to do all this data and stuff like that. We don't follow men. We follow the Bible, so we're not deceived. Many people in the end times are going to be hurt. They're going to be mad because they followed men. And again, God's warned us, don't do that. Don't follow. You might, love somebody and thank God for the truth they tell, but all of us are human. We only see through a glass darkly. None of us get it all. We're trying to piece it together ourselves. That's why you freak us out when you bring us some false information. You know what I mean? We all just like, don't mess with my world. We're all going through that right now. We're trying to sort things out because why? There's things that are being shaken. But who told us that? God told us everything. Right. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Our financial system is being shaken right now. We're seeing digital currency. We're seeing digital wallets show up in my emails. All these different things are appearing. I was like, wow, in 30 days, things have changed. Well, all these things happen. Where was I? A common emotion in trauma is fear, danger, or sudden calamity. Fear brings along what's its companion? Worry. Worry means to choke or strangle. So then when we start worrying, it doesn't help the situation because now we don't know what's going on. We feel traumatized, and now I'm worried. And so all this stuff starts adding up, and then when you get around another worried person, guess what? They don't bring you comfort. They bring you more what? Worry and fear. So it causes us to focus on the worst possible outcome. I'm going to die. I just know it. I'm going to die now. The world's over. No. Worry's like a fog. It's like a dense fog. It can hide things a few feet away. Have you ever been driving in fog and you can't see hardly in front of you? You don't know where the road is anymore. That's what worry does. It takes away reality. You can't see clearly anymore. And so if you're living in a constant state of worry, everything is hazy. Everything is a fog. It makes everything just absolutely look like it's hopeless. There's no way out of this. But I want to encourage us to stay out of that fear. And how do we do that? We're going to just give you a couple of things. But fear can cause and bring death. This is one of the reasons we don't want to stay in that state of fear. Luke 21, 26. Man's heart's failing them for what? For fear. That's why I think sometimes just shut the news off. Because they're just putting so much fear in people. It breaks my heart to see these old people. They're so afraid to even do anything right now. They're fearful. They're living in fear. And the Bible says your hearts can fail you for fear and looking after those things that are coming on the earth. Now, an example of this, a true story, which happened in a fraternity. If you know anything about fraternities, probably not a good thing. They're always initiating somebody in, and the seniors have to initiate something, you know, to the underclassmen to prove that if you really want to join us group, you got to do this, 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 and this, you know, and they do stupid things. And this one, true story, unfortunately, they tied this underclassman to the railroad tracks, not right to the railroad tracks, but he thought he was tied to the railroad tracks. They tied him to the side of it, and they left him. And to initiate, he had to go through this. And he heard the train coming in the distance, and the boys blindfolded him on the siding, but he thought he was right on the track. And when the boys came to get him, they found him dead. The train didn't hit him. The train went by him, but the trauma, the fear had so taken hold of him, it gave him a heart failure, heart attack. Can you imagine those boys when they had to find that other boy dead because fear killed him? The train didn't kill him, but the fear of the train did. And they also said in this article, the same is reported of snake bite victims, that they didn't die from the venom, but they died from the snake bite. They died from the fear that they were going to die. And that's why I say right now, we don't have to fear. There's a couple things the Bible tells us. Our life is in God's hands. There is an appointed time. It might not be your appointment right now, so just relax. And if it is, hallelujah. You know, there's nothing you can do about it, so you just have to relax. But the Bible says men's hearts shall fail them for fear. Now, in Hebrews 11, 32, we're talking about Gideon. Let's look there really quick. In Hebrews 11, 32, Gideon, in verse 33, what in some other ones, but I'm going to point out Gideon. Through faith, he subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. What else did he do? Out of weakness, he was made strong. He was waxed valiant in fight. That's kind of where we'll stop there. But let's just go through a couple things about Gideon to encourage all of us, because there's not any of us that are not facing trauma and fear somewhere in our lives right now. Some things happened this morning with one of my relatives that are facing trauma. The world that we live in is uncertain, and people are at different ages, and there's a lot of things going on. But here we see that Gideon, he was terrorized, he was traumatized, and he was the weakest clan in the small tribe of Manasseh. And he went from a weakling, one that was afraid, he was hiding, to what? A mighty warrior. Well, what in the world transformed? He had a transformation. He was transformed from a scary farmer to a warrior. So there's hope for all of us, right? If you're feeling like a scary farmer today. First of all, just give me a little time to give you a history. I don't want to bore you with facts, but I do think you need to know some key things about him. They were surrounded by their enemies for 7 years. So they had a reason. Gideon had a reason why he was terrorized. Every time they would have a harvest, these Midianites would come and they would steal their harvest. They would do all the work and then it was time for the harvest. They had a new weapon in their arsenal. They had camels. And they'd come and they'd take all of their harvest and put it on the backs of these camels and just, you know, off they went. And so Gideon was not out there like he should be, you know, fanning the wheat from the threshing floor, but he was in a wine press. You don't get any wind with the wine press, but he was trying to just get enough food for him and his family probably and not to cause any ruckus. He just wanted to get enough food and then hide. So this is where God's coming and speaking to him. But he was terrorized by, it's terrible when you do something and it's like the devil comes and steals, kills, and destroys. That's what he does, right? You work so hard and all of a sudden now you have to pay in all these taxes. And it's just like, wow, you feel like you've been robbed, don't you? That's kind of how he felt, only on a larger scale. So we find him hiding food in himself, and where was he? He was in dens and caves. And he was threshing wheat in a wine press. Not a threshing floor that separates the wheat from the chaff. So he just wanted to get enough food before he knew it was going to be stolen again. He was not a mighty warrior. He was not who you think he was. He was fearful. When God said he wanted to choose him, he said, no, you got the wrong guy. I mean, everyone in the Bible that God usually approaches, they all go, hey, you got the wrong number. Are you sure you want me? Why? Because in our own self, we're weak. But we have to remember, we're not in ourselves. In this hour, God hasn't left us by ourselves. So the first thing God tells him to do, he tells him you have to tear down your father's altars and your family's altars and the townspeople's altars to Baal and other pagan worship. Wow, he was afraid of that. Can you imagine everything your dad did, you had to go and destroy it? Think of that. That's a real issue. So what did he do in Judges 6:27? He did it at night. This is where all the warfare happens. A lot of times in the military, they move in at night. A lot of stuff goes on in the night. He did it at night because he was afraid of his family. He was afraid of the men of the town. This wasn't just a matter of that he was afraid of those people out there. He was also afraid of those inside the town. So his enemy was real. His life is in real danger. He was controlled by fear. But something changed. The Lord tells him what? Not to fear. Job 14:5, the length of each of our lives has been set and established by God. God knows before you were born how long you were going to live. And he knew Rick couldn't die because he has to help me with my YouTubes. We laugh, but God knows our beginnings and our end. And sometimes we think, oh, is this it? Is this it? You know, we want to be in control, but we are not in control. Our lives are in God's sovereign hands. And that gives you comfort. My life is in your hands, Lord. It gives you a place of peace and rest. My life is in your hands. And we each have an appointment with death. That's going to happen. And you can do stupid things like drugs and alcohol to, you know, probably encourage it. But even then, God spared many. Many of you were alcoholics and drug addicts, but God, right? So here's Gideon. He has causes of fear. God's telling him he wants him to go up against this huge army, not just an army, but a huge army. And number one, he has no experience. He's not a military guy. He doesn't know how to do warfare. So he's like, yeah, right, I'm really the guy, you know? So God's charge is go against an army of 135,000. Think of that, 135,000. In Judges 8:10, it says an army thick as locusts. That's pretty thick. That's God's charge. And then God gives him a small army of 32,000. So you've got 135,000 versus 32,000 to start with. And God says, oh, that's a fourth of the size. But God says, that's too many. You got too many. And Gideon's going, too many? I mean, it's already a fourth of the size, and you're saying it's too many, and God says, yes, because I don't want man to boast and say that you caused this victory. I want you to know the battle is the Lord's, and the victory is mine, and I don't want to give any of us boasting rights. And that's why I say none of us know a lot. We can only see through a glass darkly. We're all trying to figure pieces out. We all think we're know-it-alls. Our research proves us right, right? I mean, we all can say that. I've found one of the most arrogant people I've ever met was, well, I do my own research. I'll never forget that comment. And I was just like, wow. And that's kind of how we all are. We're all doing our own research, right? And God goes, that's too many. That's not just too many, but it's far too many. Because he wants everyone to know that he is God and he's going to get the glory for this. So he says, get rid of the fearful. Uh-oh. He said, get rid of them. I want you to send home all of those that are fearful. Well, guess what? 22,000 were fearful. That leaves them with 10,000. Now, God said, that's still too many. You got rid of the fearful, but now he wants to get rid of the undiscerning and the unwatchful and the unprepared. Whoa. So there is another test at the waters. And so there's another 9,700 that failed the test at the waters. Why did they fail? They weren't watchful. They weren't alert. They weren't prepared for ambush. So God goes, I want warriors that'll trust me, that'll obey me, that will listen to me, and that are discerning and that are watchful. Isn't that something? So he ends up with 300. Why? The 300 were watching, and they knew there could be an ambush, and they kept their eyes open. God could do more. Think of this. We always think that we have to have the masses. God says, narrow is the way. Few are going to be that find it. So quit trying to think the masses are going to prove right. Quit trying to say, well, all the preachers on TV are right. Or the politicians that are on TV, of course they're right. Well, that's one reason to question, hoya, 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 all these people. Why? Because God always has a few. God's always going against the grain. And God always proves, guess what? He wins. With or without you, he's going to win. He's going to win. He already said he win. The problem with what Christians have, we don't think we're going to have to go through anything. We don't think we're going to have to suffer persecution. Well, guess what? That's in there too. He said, if you love me, he said, they're going to hate you because the world doesn't love you. The world hated me and it's going to hate you. Oops. Beware when Christianity becomes popular. Guess why? It wasn't true Christianity. Because true Christianity are those that follow him and they obey what he says. So God can do more with a few. It's just the way he works. So if you're with a few and they know the truth, be thankful. Be thankful for your few. Because God can do more with 300 that trust him and watch and are willing to be a soldier. Now in Judges 7:7, the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, they were prepared for ambush. They were looking for their enemies. I will save you, and I will give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go. And that's what you have to do sometimes. Sometimes you've tried to help people, and they don't want to listen. Sometimes you just have to let them go. And when it gets dark, guess what? You're the light. They'll call you. Don't try to push things down people's throats. You know, be there. There's a lot of things you might know, but they're not ready to hear yet. They can't hear it. There's some things God wants us to know, and you know what? He says there's things he probably won't tell us yet. We have to be ready to hear truth, right? So let them all go. The 300 men, they were equipped with what? Really strange things. With a jar, with a torch, and with a trumpet. Against 135,000. Now this is, the odds are 450 people to one. 450 people to one. But what does God do? He tells them a strategy. And there's some interesting things in here. He says, put 100 over here, put 100 over here, put surround them. So they think they're totally surrounded. And then he says, light the torches and break the jars. And as they break their jars, it sounds like there's a huge army out there, doesn't it? Noise. I mean, wow, light and noise and blowing the trumpet. What did it do? It struck fear and terror. Now look at how terror can also work on the enemy. It struck terror, fear, confusion, against the enemy and they couldn't see. They got afraid. What'd they do? They started killing each other off. They turned their swords because they couldn't see and they were confused. They started killing each other, every man for himself. And that reminded me of the scripture in Revelation 6:4. When the second horseman of the apocalypse comes in the end times, it says that the red one comes and he takes peace from the earth and makes men, what do? They slay each other. It happens again. They start, you know, my life for yours, and they don't know who he's, you know, they start betraying each other. So it causes chaos, confusion, division. They turn their swords on each other. So there really wasn't much they had to do because the enemy killed themselves. Isn't that amazing? So what's the lesson? As Gideon faced fear in the strength of the Lord, fear did not control him. When we face life with the Lord on our side, fear cannot control us. There's sometimes I have to face my fears and just break through it. Just say, Lord, I'm going to do this in faith. I don't feel like it, but you're with me and you're telling me to do that. And what happens? You do it and you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. Thank you. Now I'm not afraid to do that anymore. Sometimes you just got to do things and trust the Lord if he's telling you to do it. And what happens? God's there. And all of a sudden now you're operating, you're abiding in him. We are told to fear the Lord and not fear what man can do to us. Our hope is in fearing the Lord. You're either going to fear man, put your trust in man, follow man, or you're going to fear the Lord, you're going to trust in him, and you're going to walk in the fear of the Lord. Even when those martyrs, what did they do? They lived in the fear of the Lord. And they were saying that when people died in the Holocaust, they died with smiles on their faces. The Lord came and took them before their bodies probably. They just, boop. They were just so angry. And some of these testimonies that these people had, why? Just like Stephen that was stoned and the glory of the Lord. There's no fear in death, but we fear it because we've never been through it. But the Bible says the Lord is with us. And guess what? This earth suit is just going to go from ashes, dust to us. But the real you, you're going to live forever. This world is not your home. We're passing through. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We don't like to pass through and think about the end of it, but we don't have to fear it. And this is where Gideon got to. He got to the state of, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. So I'm not going to fear what the Midianites can do to me. In Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So when fear comes, fear has a voice. The fear will say to you, you're going to die. Everything's shaking and you're going to die. And if you don't have control of this, you know what you have to tell them? Facts. The time of death is in the Lord's hands. I choose to trust him. I choose to trust him. You know what happens to that fear, that voice? It has to go. And if it comes again, you say the same thing. My life is in God's hands. My children's life right now, it's in God's hands. That should take the pressure off of you trying to control things and put your trust in God, just like Gideon had to. Think it was 450-1. How many enemies do you have? He had, the odds were totally against him. But when you have God on your side, God's with you, he says, don't fear, because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You don't have to face this alone. It said, you might not see a way, but I'm going to make a way where there is no way. Has God made a way for you? In your past life, you think, there's no way I'll ever survive this. You've survived it. See, he's a liar. The devil's a liar, and he comes with torment, and he keeps tormenting and tormenting. So what do you go back and you just say, the Lord says, go back to what the Bible says. The Bible says, my life is not my own. My life is hid with Christ. My life is hid with God in Christ, right? And so what happens? Peace comes back, and all of a sudden the fog lifts, and if you have to do it again, do it again. But the fact is, God's with you. And we have to trust him. And then fear says, I feel trapped with no way out. God says, I will always make a way where there seems to be a no way. And then closing, live one day at a time. When we start fearing tomorrow, we don't enjoy today. And we can look and say, I feared the last 20 years and nothing happened that I feared. Well, what if you would have enjoyed those last 20 years? You know? Start enjoying it. And just a couple scriptures about the understanding the fear of the Lord. We want to walk in the fear of the Lord. We are to fear the Lord and not man. The early church walked in the fear of the Lord, Acts 9:31. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We should be fearful of what? Apostasy, falling into the false church. And we should serve God with godly fear. In other words, we don't want to go into the wrong teaching. That's what I spent the last 6 years of knowing this. We don't want to be a part of the false church. We want to be a part of the true, the remnant church, the real church, right? But then when you come out of that, you have to know there's also other things in the world that are lies, that are deception. The truth is in the Bible. There's many people that are not saved. The Nicolaitans. God hates the Nicolaitans. He hated the Nicolaitans because they ruled the people. They put power over the people. In fact, when Gideon won this battle, the people wanted to make him ruler. You know what he said? Nope, God is your ruler. He refused, because he had a victory now, to have something happens to people when they get power. And Gideon was smart enough to know, we're going to make God the ruler. Well, we live in a system where we put men in charge of us, and we think sometimes they have our best interests at heart. Guess what? They don't. And many times money is the root of what they're following after. So don't put your trust in them. I don't care if they're right, they're left, they're backwards, upside downers, whatever they call themselves, if they're scientists, whatever they are. God has our best interest. Don't let any man deceive you, anybody. So quit fighting about these stupid things. It doesn't really matter. We're on our way to heaven. God's going to be with us. We might have to struggle some persecution. Things might get different for us in America. We've never, ever went this route before, where we see things closed down in Christianity, but we see abortions opened. We see other religions opened. But have we ever faced this before? No. But you know what? We're not moved. We're not shaken. We got born again. God saw us. He's the author, and he's also our finisher.
Amen.
Amen? So be encouraged today. Sometimes you just got to shut the news off and don't be listening to every single thing that comes around, because you know what? You're going to be so fearful. Everybody's got a thought. Everybody's got an idea. But God is the final word. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.